And that is a presentation on the Endangered Species Management Plan. And we will be, our main presenter on that is Nick Palazzotto. Am I pronouncing your name right, Nick?
That's how my dad said it.
So okay, good. Go ahead, Nick.
Thank you, Chair Kelly, and good afternoon. Good afternoon, State Forester Mukamoto, members of the board. For the record, my name is Nick Palazzotto, and I serve as the Resource Support Unit Manager for the State Forest Division. And today I'll be presenting an update on the development of an Endangered Species Management Plan, or ESMP, as you hear me say ad nauseum here, for marble murrelets. And it will include a recommendation for the agency-defined role in the conservation of the species in Oregon, and also a framework for board review and feedback. Next slide, please. So some quick background and context. In July of 2021, the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission voted to uplist the marble murrelet from threatened to endangered under the State Endangered Species Act. And the uplisting of the murrelet to endangered sets in motion a series of actions that must be taken by the commission, ODFW, ODF, and the board, most notably the development and approval of an endangered species management plan. State land managers have 18 months to develop and submit their ESMP to the commission, who then has 6 months to approve it. And the process of development and final approval of the plan by the commission is required to be completed within 2 years. The state ESA only applies to state land owning or managing agencies. It does not apply to federal, private, or tribal lands. And at the time of listing, the commission adopted mandatory survival guidelines that apply unless an agency has a commission approved ESMP or an incidental take permit. The guidelines are what the commission considers necessary to ensure the survival of individual members of the species in the absence of an ESMP. And the division has been implementing these requirements following their adoption as mandatory. Next slide, please. Within 4 months of the listing decision, the commission is required to determine if state land can play a role in the conservation of endangered species. And state land owning or managing agencies that the commission determines can play a role in the conservation of species must develop ESMPs. Now, its meeting in November, the commission identified ODF as an agency that manages marble murrelet habitat in Oregon and therefore can play a role in conservation. So the next step for the division then is to determine the role of state forest lands in conservation of marble murrelets. As defined in statute here, conservation means the use of methods and procedures necessary to bring a species to the point where such measures are no longer necessary. This role may include, but is not limited to, conservation, a contribution to conservation, or take of ones. And each agency has considerable discretion. Oh, sorry, next slide. And each agency has considerable discretion in determining the role that its lands can play, and in making this determination must balance several factors consistent with the biological aspects of species management identified by ODFW and the statutory or constitutional obligations of the agencies, including the land's statutory purpose. Thus, the division is obligated to balance the statutory requirements, rules, and policies applicable to management of state forests, the social and economic impacts that conservation would have on the state, the conservation needs of the species, and the purpose of the lands and the roles of other ownership categories when determining the role of state forest lands in conservation of marble murrelets. Next slide, please. So for the purpose of developing an ESMP within the framework of the current forest management plan, the division proposes to define the role of ODF managed lands as a contribution to conservation of marble murrelets. This contribution to conservation is designed to support stable or increasing populations and habitat trends by protecting occupied habitat and improving habitat conditions. And it's based on our existing take avoidance policies and other commitments under the Forest Management Plan. Next slide, please. The division's marble murrelet policies and our current Forest Management Plan, in conjunction with the survival guidelines, provide a substantial contribution to the conservation of the species. The policies are our approach to take avoidance under the current plan, Forest Management Plan, with a focus on protecting occupied habitat. Our policies are aligned with ODFW's mandatory survival guidelines, and the division is taking measures to implement the requirements therein that are additive to existing policy. Taken together, the policies and survival guidelines represent more than just measures for compliance with state and federal ESAs. They also represent a contribution to conservation, since protection of occupied habitat helps ensure that we're not directly contributing to any negative population impacts or declines of known occupied habitat. And the current FMP is designed to protect, maintain, and enhance native wildlife habitats with an emphasis on promoting habitat for species associated with mature and old growth forests. The FMP establishes targets for layered and old forest structural conditions, and these stands are then placed in a landscape design that's intended to provide for large areas of interior habitat. The Forest Management Plan also has requirements for retention of existing old growth, for leave trees and harvest units, and management of riparian areas for mature forest conditions. And while not all of these strategies will result in marbled murrelet habitat everywhere, the Forest Management Plan nonetheless represents a substantial contribution to conservation beyond just the take avoidance approach to ESA compliance for listed species. However, other statutory mandates and environmental factors limit state forests' capacity to provide for conservation as defined under the state ESA. The purpose of the land includes a full range of economic, social, and environmental benefits. State forests represent a relatively small proportion of the total range of the species in Oregon. The Tillamook and Clatsop State Forests play an important role in marble murrelet conservation on the North Coast, but ODF-managed lands are scattered and smaller elsewhere, and federal lands harbor more habitat in larger patches in the rest of the species range. Additionally, ocean conditions can affect adult survival and breeding success, and ODF has no capacity to influence ocean conditions. Large-scale disturbances, either on land, such as fires or windstorms, or at sea, such as oil spills, are difficult to predict or prevent, as are the effects of climate change on habitat and resources on land or in the ocean. These limitations are such that state forests can't recover murrelets in Oregon, but can help arrest declines and improve habitat conditions, and thus contribute to positive trends for local populations and habitat. Next slide, please. So to talk a little bit about the timeline again, within 18 months and the relationship to our HCP and to the related FMP revision, within 18 months of the listing decision, which is by January 16th, 2023, the division is required to develop and approve an ESMP and submit that plan to the commission for their review and approval. The commission's then given an additional 6 months to review the submitted plan to determine whether the plan achieves the role defined for the land. And based on the biology of the species, the commission may modify the plan if necessary to be consistent with that role defined for the land. Commission must then approve the plan as submitted or modified within 24 months from the date the species is listed as endangered, which in this case is July 16th, 2023. These statutory established timelines require the division to proceed with development of the ESMP while working on the habitat conservation plan and its associated forest management plan. Thus, the ESMP will align with the current FMP, which is not connected to an incidental take permit. A commission-approved endangered species management plan for the murrelet will supersede the survival guidelines for the species. And also, an incidental take permit issued by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under the Federal Endangered Species Act would be recognized by ODFW as a waiver of any state protection measures or requirements otherwise applicable to the actions allowed under the federal permit. Thus, an HCP would effectively supersede or replace the Endangered Species Management Plan. Next slide. Okay, so I'd like to take a few minutes to allow for questions from the board and for public comments before we move on to the next steps and a decision from the board regarding the role of state forests in murrelet conservation. And yeah, okay, thanks for unsharing.
Okay, any questions or comments from board members at this point before we take public testimony? Carla.
Yes, Nick, I have one question. You know, state lands only represent about 2.5% of all forest lands in Oregon. Less than half of that of all lands, right? So we're making pretty substantial policy based on considerable minority of acres. Can you explain to me, you know, very specific outcomes you expect with dealing with only, you know, 2.5% of the total forest acres and less than 1.25% of total acres? Why you expect a substantial impact here?
Yeah, and so, I mean, I'm not sure I can satisfy that, but for clarity, where the estimate is that our lands are 4% of the coast range, which we could use as a surrogate for murrelet habitat. It's a little bit smaller than that, but we're somewhere between 3% and 4% of the range of the murrelet, which is a limited amount of, you know, the total acreage therein. And that thus why we're saying conservation of the species can't be entirely on us, obviously. At the same time, on the North Coast, I think we're something like 80%. We're approximately 80% of the total public land on the North Coast. Thus, in that area, we do play a significant role in the conservation of the species. Regardless of all that, the state ESA only applies to state lands, and this is a mandate, a statutory mandate that comes from another agency to us. We don't really have an opportunity to question that. We have to proceed acknowledging the role our lands can play. Hence why I, you know, sort of put it at contribution to conservation at the state level.
Well, address the second part then. I understand what you're saying. But what tangible, you know, measurable outcomes do you expect? What metrics would you apply to this and what expectations would you have?
Sure. Okay. Good question. So under the current FMP, which is our framework here and a take avoidance approach to species management and ESA compliance, the outcomes we would be identifying and protecting the occupied habitat that exists on our land, as we have been for the past 30 years. We have if not the largest survey program anywhere in the range of the species. So we have a well-established history of doing that. And then the FMP, as I stated, has these additional contributions, you know, via the landscape design and those commitments for complex forest structure. And again, that's not going to mean that everywhere becomes habitat, but that is a contribution beyond just protecting occupied habitat. So I guess the simplest way to answer that is we would be seeking to, as I said, support stability of population and habitat on our lands and to improve habitat conditions in that effort, as part of that effort.
Okay, thank you. Ben.
Thanks. I'm Ben Däumling for the record. And Nick, I appreciate the presentation today. And I've asked this question before, I think, and I would be remiss if I didn't ask it again. There's the July 16th, I think, of next year, when the commission would approve this plan, is very close to our tentative dates of the HCP and FMP being approved. And I need to ask, have we exhausted all efforts to get the commission to give us a waiver or a little extension to not have to do what seems like a bunch of extra work? I appreciate the work you're doing, but it seems almost redundant in some ways.
Yeah, the timing's unfortunate, but it is what it is, and it's a legal mandate. And so the commission delegated authority to the agency, to ODFW, and we've been working with them closely on the development of the plan or checking in. We have monthly meetings and check in. We don't have an ability to point to a plan we don't have and say we don't need this. We have to, and not only that, but you still need an endangered species. It's a mandate. You have to have an endangered species management plan, even if an HCP then supersedes that plan. And so this needs to be in place. We can't peg it to a plan we don't have, and it will need to be there regardless of whether we get that plan.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, without seeing any other hands up, I think we can move towards public testimony. Hillary, can you tell us if you've got anyone lined up for public testimony on this item?
Yes, Chair Kelly, we have two individuals signed up to provide comment on agenda item 6.
Okay, then thank you for those who signed up to provide testimony to the board today. We ask that you not exceed the allotted time of 3 minutes. I ask that before you start, you state your full name and associated affiliation if representing a group or organization. A timer will be provided to track your time. And if you exceed this time, someone will prompt you to provide a closing statement. Hillary, let's go ahead here.
Thank you, Board Chair. So for those in the queue, thanks for joining us today. I'll go ahead and hopefully you're both unmuted. I will ask that you follow the order of first Ms. Kamal and second Mr. Salinger. And please just hold on one moment while I get the timer prepared for those comments. First up, Ms. Kamal.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Kelly and members of the Board of Forestry. My name is Dr. Srishti Kamal, and I'm the senior representative with Defenders of Wildlife. Defenders was also one of the petitioners that led to the reclassification of the marble murrelet under the Oregon Endangered Species Act, a path that has led us to this item today. I wanted to highlight some key factors that will influence murrelet's recovery on state lands, which represents 16% of murrelet habitat. The reclassification was a long, windy path of over 4 years, but when the Fish and Wildlife Commission voted in favor of the petitioners, one of the deciding factors was the uncertainty around climate change impacts on the species habitat, both on land and water. In a published assessment, out of 114 Pacific Northwest birds, marble murrelet had the highest climate sensitivity score. It might just take one climate stochastic event to push this species into extinction. We urge the board to take a critical look at the current provisions in the FMP and whether it allows for contingencies to address climate change impacts on the murrelet. I also want to touch upon murrelet population and the perception that they might be stable. At-sea surveys are conducted every other year for each of the two zones that Oregon falls in. So the biggest zone in Oregon has not been surveyed 3 out of the last 6 years. Also, birds counted off Oregon's coast does not nest in Oregon. Those tagged in Oregon have traveled all the way to California and Washington in search of food. Additionally, because of poor ocean foraging conditions, the birds are staying closer to the coast, which might contribute disproportionately to their count relative to past years. A 2020 scientific paper summarized 20 years of research and stated that murrelet occupancy in forests was less than 10% of predicted occupancy in all of those 20 years. There is also a difference between suitable and probable murrelet habitat. Suitable habitat is good quality habitat that murrelets are likely to use. Probable habitat, which ODF refers in the report, includes poor quality habitat such as edge and scatter habitat, which murrelets are very unlikely to use. In ODFNW's 2018 bioassessment, they noted, and I quote, based on Northwest Forest Plan estimates, higher suitability nesting habitat declined in Oregon, a net loss of 9.2%. But when ODFNW switched the definition to probable habitat in 2021, they noted, and I quote, higher probability nesting habitat increased in Oregon, a net increase of 9.9%. Scatter habitat increased by 11%. Depending on the definition you choose, murrelet habitat changes. Finally, the agency report notes that the current FMP is in compliance with federal ESA requirements, but the current FMP has been in place for a while now, and yet the murrelet continue to decline. If the currently underway HCP is approved and put in place, it will certainly contribute to better conservation measures for the murrelet. However, the fate of the HCP is unknown, and until then, we urge you to ensure that the agency considers and plans for alternatives. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Ms. Kamal. Up next, Mr. Sullivan.
Good afternoon, Chair Kelly, Director Mokomoto, and Mokomoto, and members of the commission. My name is Bob Salinger. I am the Conservation Director for Portland Audubon Society. We also were one of the petitioners for uplisting. ODFSW's decision last year to uplist the marble murrelet from threatened to endangered 26 years after they were listed under the State Endangered Species Act was not an endorsement of the status quo, nor was it a reflection that the populations are stable. It was a clear signal that things have gone from bad to worse and that we need to do things differently. We need to step up our game. Populations are not stable. As Dr. Kamal has already discussed, and I will follow up on this, the evidence is not there to say that they are stable. They are at high risk. And again, that's why ODFNW uplisted. They are now at best hovering around a much lower baseline than their historic populations. Betts et al. In 2020 described them as being squeezed as both on both land and on sea. Our ocean conditions have worsened considerably. McShane et al. In 2004 in a demographic study noted that there's a 80% risk of extinction in Oregon Zone 4 by 2060 and an 80% risk of extinction in Oregon Zone 3 by 2100. Nor should we take solace in the at-sea surveys for the reasons that Dr. Kamal has already discussed. Those do not necessarily indicate that we are having nesting success in Oregon. As she also noted, our habitat, the new habitat that people seem to be relying upon is mostly scattered. 95.7% is scatter habitat. That is low quality, fragmented, isolated habitat, not the kind of habitat that murrelets do well in. Right now, the population in Oregon is estimated between 7,070 birds and 13,600 birds. Those populations are at high risk of a stochastic event. All it would take is one big fire, one big oil spill, and we could have this population on the brink of extinction. Again, we need to step up our game. The status quo is not adequate. This plan seems to take a status quo approach. It depends largely upon the habitat conservation plan moving forward. There are some improvements in that habitat conservation plan for murrelets, but there is no assurance that it will actually move forward and be adopted. So relying upon that is not adequate. Otherwise, the plan relies simply on the status quo. What we're doing is fine. Let's move it forward and make this a cursory exercise. What's in there simply is not adequate to protect the species. The state lands are important. Relying on federal lands alone is inadequate. We've already talked this morning about the need to step up on private lands. This is the opportunity to step up on public state lands. We need to look across all three of those landscapes and up our game. So we strongly encourage staff to go back and come back with a plan that really does improve things for the Murrelets, not simply rely on the status quo. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Salinger, and apologies, I mispronounced your name earlier. But thank you very much for both of you for joining us today. And this concludes our public testimony for item 6. If you'd like to stay, feel free to do so. Just disengage your video and remain muted unless called upon by the board. Thank you.
Yeah, I would also want to say, Bob, I think we had some confusion on our item 3 this morning and exactly what we passed relative to the marbled murrelet. And we're going to return to that at the end of the day here before we adjourn, in case you want to be there for that discussion. I'm just would alert you to that. And otherwise, board member thoughts, comments, questions? I am hearing none. We have a proposed motion.
Sure. Apologies. I have a quick question.
You bet.
Actually, I have one for the commenters and then also for Nick. For Ms. Samal and Mr. Salinger, I'm just interested to know if you have particular recommendations for measures that you have thought of that the department should be considering to include in the plan. And then for Nick, I do have a question related to that distinction between suitable and probable and how that plays out into your plan, because I do notice that a lot of the protection measures, at least in the write-up that I'm seeing, says that you are intending to protect suitable habitat around identified occupied sites. I'm just wondering about that distinction and how that plays into your plan and what you're doing. We're protecting suitable. If we're trying to expand suitable habitat, are we using the probable threshold?
Do you want me to go first? Do you want to
sure.
let them Thanks. Go? Oh, okay. So no, we protect known occupied. We determine that via our survey program, which, you know, we use the Pacific Seabird Group protocol, which is sort of the only game in town, though it has some shortcomings. Nonetheless, it has served us well in terms of using it to determine what's occupied out there. At the same time, the commitments under the FMP will, in theory and in practice, based on the last 30 years, 20 years, will promote suitable habitat, which then is triggered for surveys when a sale is in proximity. So we're surveying suitable habitat to determine occupancy and then protecting the known occupied sites under the current plan framework and a take avoidance approach to ESA compliance.
So sorry, quick follow-up on the concept of contributing to recovery, contributing to conservation. Have we seen that with our FMP management measures that we have seen an increase in suitable habitat on these lands or not?
You know, I haven't done the analysis to look at where we were when the plan began. I've only looked at, and we've, you know, so we developed some models for the HCP and then looked at what it's predicting on our landscape currently and what it would look like 70 years from now. That modeling effort, which again, you know, caveats abound, shows there's actually very little that's highly suitable on our lands, like, you know, very high quality nesting habitat. And there's a relatively low percentage that even qualifies as suitable. So we're short. I can't say whether, I haven't looked at whether it's grown in since that time. However, we've looked at it in terms of age class structure and presented this to the commission, ODFW's commission in 2018. Our forest has gotten older, demonstrably.
So more acres have come into age classes that generally provide for habitat. So kind of course, I mean, I'd have to go back and look and ask that specific question and get to the answer. But age structure suggests habitat has grown in over the last 20 years.
Okay, thank you.
I'm gonna have a process suggestion here. As we've learned, the timing here is unfortunate. And if we're able to be successful with an HCP, most of this becomes essentially moot. With that in mind, but also as Bob Salinger pointed out to us, if the HCP were to fail, then this becomes a much more important document. So I would kind of suggest that we go ahead and adopt this with the understanding that if we were to get to a point where the HCP fails, that we revisit this and examine it carefully at that point to see if it's really reaches a level of adequacy that the board could approve. I'm open to other thoughts on that, but that's my thinking. No hands up. Oh, there's Brenda.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach, Jim. I think if we do move forward with the HCP, and I'm hopeful that we will, then this does become moot. So I don't see a point in agonizing on it at this point.
Exactly. Well, if we're there, then the proposed motion is that the board approves the role of state forests as a, quote, contribution to conservation of the marbled murrelet as defined and detailed above and based on existing take avoidance policy and other commitments under the current FMP. So I would ask if there's someone willing to make a motion and someone willing to second that motion.
So moved.
Do I hear a second? Okay, I think that's a second. The wave of the hands, Liz, is that a second?
You're aye.
Okay, all right. In that case, let's, board members, please unmute yourself. And I will ask for each of you to vote on this. Liz Apoa?
I vote yay.
Carla Chambers?
Aye.
Ben Doimling?
Aye.
Chandra Ferrari?
Aye.
Joe Justice?
Aye.
Brenda McComb?
Aye.
And myself, Jim Kelly, is an aye, so the motion carries unanimously. So do we, Nick, Mike Wilson, have we put this to bed for now? Any other comments or questions?
I guess just a quick comment as far as next steps. So we'll be returning in July to sort of provide an update on the development of the plan. And then we will bring the final draft to the board in November for approval. And then that will enable us to send it to the commission in January.
Great.